I'd like to think the information we share with y'all here at Rosie on the House every Saturday morning improves your quality of life in, about, and around your house, home, castle, or cabin. And one of the things we've been sharing with y'all for a long time is when you're in the market for shopping for a new vehicle, go to where Jennifer and I have gone, literally our entire family have gone, to shop for vehicles for the last 40 years. And that's Sanderson Ford in Glendale. I can remember walking their lot as a kid. We were married, but we got married. But Jennifer robbed the cradle. She married me very young. And we had a house that was almost right across the street from Sanderson Ford. And I would just go walk the lot every once in a while. I was never chased off. They knew I couldn't afford anything on the lot, but they would always come up and talk to me and visit with me. And eventually, when I could afford it, I bought my first vehicle there. That was almost 40 years ago. And I can't tell you how many I've bought since. They make it so easy. The owner of Sanderson Ford, Mr. Dave, talks about relationship. You know, every single transaction is a relationship building opportunity in their eyes. That's why everyone at Sanderson Ford is so committed to giving back to the community and building relationships. I knew on several occasions in the last 4 years, I knew a particular car I wanted, and I'd call them, and they'd say, "We don't have one on the lot right now. When we see it come in, we'll put your name on it." And that's how I ended up with Carol's car that we sent on our way to college, and that's how I ended up with the car I drive today. If you want a car buying experience that truly is a relationship building experience, go to the most award-winning dealership in America, Sanderson Ford, right here in Glendale. You'll thank me for this.
Okay, so we've been talking all over the place today, animals, pets, but we took a little bunny trail off to moths. And so we had Miss Katie Prudick from U of A, a citizen science assistant professor, last segment, just talking us through moths. And I never really realized why I didn't like moths, but she said it. It's because they're erratic, right? And they flit around, and then they're not really all that pretty unless you're up close.
Well,
and
they don't tend to be as pretty as butterflies, that's for sure.
So I think I've always been a little bit afraid of them, but I want to thank her because I have a new appreciation for them. But one of the things I learned just looking into this a little bit, you know, if you have like a closet infestation of moths, you can't call a pest control company that will come out and get rid of them for you because they don't get rid of anything that flies. They can't come in your house and just start shooting chemicals at flies and mosquitoes and moths. But the good news is there are thousands of varieties of moths, and only two will eat clothing. So it's kind of rare, but some of the things that you can do to keep them out of your closet is the cedar blocks, and we don't have them too bad here, but you know, after this season we could. And occasionally, I remember going out to dinner with somebody and noticing there was a big hole in the back of their dress, and I thought, well, that person has a moth in their closet. But you can use the mothballs, which I don't like, but I love the cedar. There's different kind of natural things you can do. But the most important thing you can do is just kind of move your closet around. You know, make sure you go through your clothes kind of on a regular basis and that sort of thing. And to keep them out of your house altogether, you know, especially this time of year, you're going to want to pull your screen shut. And then turn off the lights. Turn your lights off when you're not using them, because they're just drawn to that. But they're not going to hurt you. They don't bite. They don't, you know, they might get in. There's certain types that might eat your flower or something, but they're really not much of a nuisance.
You know,
and
they
know what? They are pollinators.
Go ahead. I was going to say, in Louisiana, it was pretty common to have a cedar closet, mm-hmm. a complete closet made of nothing but cedar wood, and you could put your clothes in there and all that. It was virtually mothproof.
Yeah, it's a natural deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you put that in. We actually have one of those in our house.
Oh, yeah,
we do.
You go. Yeah.
Now, Gary, who was the Saturday Night Live comedian that passed away this
week? Norm MacDonald.
Now, look, in doing research on moths this week, I stumbled across Norm MacDonald telling a moth joke on David Letterman's show. That's one of the funniest jokes I've ever heard.
I thought it was the dumbest thing until we hit the punchline.
I came out of my chair crying. I was laughing so hard.
Stay with the show till we're off the air, but I guarantee you sometime this weekend, look up the moth joke by Norm MacDonald on YouTube and stay with it.
Yeah,
you got to stay with it.
You got to stay with it and get fully engaged in it. It will kill you. I was dying when I heard it.
I did too. Oh. I did too. I thought, where is this going? And then wham. Now, you had Dr. Katie on from U of A. For those of you in Maricopa County, again, in doing our little research for the topic today, I discovered something. I'd really like to get an excuse to miss one of the shows coming up. Saturday.
To be fair, I started to sign up and realized you have to be there on a Saturday.
The Maricopa County Regional Parks has a seminar coming up October 1st and 2nd. It is the first virtual beginner butterfly training program, and it'll be October 1st from 6 to 7:30 p.m. But then the next day, you go out to any one of the state parks. And they're actually going to ask you to harvest data on what you see. Estrella Mountain Park, Hacayampa River Park, Spur Cross Ranch, Conservation Area, White Tank Mountain Regional Park. And you are going to be trained on spotting, identifying, and recording what you see. So they're going to start what the Audubon Society started with the backyard bird count. So training an army of people to be able to identify what it is that's flying through your backyard, what's pollinating your garden, what's working on your flowering herbs. This sounds like something I would really enjoy doing.
It does look like fun.
A butterfly identification seminar, butterfly training program. If you're interested, and it's open to the public, get a hold of Maricopa County Parks and get all the information for the seminar running October 1st and 2nd, butterfly training program. As I was saying earlier in the show, Jennifer and I take our horses. We generally like to take Monday off, and we took the horses out for a ride. That's usually our Monday activity, is we trailer the horses to wherever we have to go for a cool ride. And this Monday, it was just cool enough. We were able to stay in the desert area. We went out to Rio Verde. And Jennifer generally leads because her little horse has a small horse syndrome. And if I lead, he just kind of like goes nuts. So Peanut and Jennifer generally lead. And as they would walk by the desert fig or the manzanita or the cat claw, every time y'all walked by one of those bushes beside the trail, it would literally explode with hundreds and hundreds, I dare say thousands of different butterflies. And I think, I don't know, just looking casually from horseback, I think we saw 6 or 8 different varieties.
Yeah. And in talking to Katie, you know, this is going to end soon. You know, the weather's going to cool off. They're here because there's food. As things die off for the winter, the mosquitoes will go away, the moths will go away. So all these little flying things that we're not used to because we're so spoiled, we're going to start going away. So not much you can do about it, but we do love watching the little butterflies and moths. Hey, I got a text question about our earlier discussion.
Okay.
So we're talking about little critter, you know, our pets and having them in the backyard. And this person wants to know, how big should your dog be before you leave it alone in the backyard?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I would say bigger than a rabbit. Yeah. Rabbit size or smaller are the ones that are at highest risk from attack from overhead, for sure.
Yeah, they're specifically asking about hawks, but we mentioned last week our neighbor has a medium-sized dog, almost as big as ours.
A terrier.
Yeah. But a good, healthy-sized terrier. And a coyote jumped over the wall and got after him.
Over a 6-foot block wall and attacked this dog in its own backyard.
Yeah.
Poor little buddy lived with, I don't know, he had 30, 40 stitches for a while.
Yeah.
Recovered well, but how traumatic is that to run in your backyard and your pet's being attacked by a coyote? Yeah. And they actually make, if you're in an area with a particularly high amount of coyote traffic, they actually make rollers that you put on the top of those walls. So as the coyote jumps and his front paws land on the top, then he just pulls himself up with the back feet, and then he goes over. These rollers actually keep the coyote from ever getting his front paws up there to hold on.
So it's one long roller.
Yeah, you mount them end to end to end to end, and they're just real rollers. As you jump, as they jump up there, they fall back into the alley.
Where do you find those?
They're actually fairly common.
Oh yeah.
Yep. So wall rollers, coyote wall rollers.
Well, we have chain links, and part of ours were against a wash, so I don't know, that wouldn't help. But that does have those. I guess, what do you think? What would you do for a chain link fence to keep them out?
Well, at our property, like many properties, the chain link is buried in such thick oleander that they're not going to try and jump over it. You know, they may try and burrow underneath it, but we don't have anything in the backyard that's so appetizing for them to force them to want to dig under anything. So we're fortunate that way. Everything we've got in our backyard is of a size. They're just gonna bark at each other through the chain link fence. So keeping the dogs safe. We recently had to do at Rosie Wright Remodeling, had to do a laundry room remodel. And a big part of what the client wanted is a dog shower. They wanted an area they could actually put on a pair of flip-flops and a bathing suit and walk the dog into this area and literally stand over it and shower it and shampoo it and clean it. And boy, there were actually a lot of things to think about when we got to doing it. Not having ever done a dog shower, we had to do a little research into it as to what the appropriate appliances are and the plumbing fixtures and the drainage systems and what do you do with the excess amount of hair that's generally accumulated depending on the variety of dog. But it's a great way. You often tell me I have the stinkiest dogs in the world.
He does.
I don't think that's true, but that's what you tell me.
It is.
They're outside dogs. They get bathed once a year, whether they need it or not. but if I had a setup like that, you know, maybe I would get in there and kind of scrub them down every once in a while.
Well, I have bought the shampoos that you put on the end of the hose. And it distributes the shampoo, and then you turn it off, and it just rinses them. And that works wonderfully in the summer because it's hot outside and the water's just right. But in the winter, when it's cold, you don't want to turn that cold hose on them. So it would be really nice. So you would put that like in the mud room?
Absolutely.
Laundry room?
Yeah. And in this particular laundry room, it worked as the drip area for your wet laundry that you wanted to drip dry. There was a bar across the top that you could also hang all of your clothes as they came out of the dryer. You just had a hanging area there. It was well lit. It was all tile. There was no division between it and the rest of the laundry room. It was like a walk-in shower. There was a little hook on the wall. You could hook the leash just to hold them still for a while. So it worked out really well.
Well, I found out that, you know, at our house we have one of those older sunken tubs. And so one of our kids was staying at the house and wanted to bathe their dog in that tub. So they took peanut butter and put it around the edge of the shower to keep the dog in there.
To keep it
busy.
Dog occupied.
Yeah, but a hook would have been a lot nicer way to get that done.
Yeah, it would have been a lot nicer. So all ideas on living with your pet, keeping them safe in the backyard, keeping happy, keeping them clean, all that kind of information we're sharing with you here at Rosie on the House.